The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? And if he finds it, amen, I say to you, he rejoices more over it than over the 99 that did not stray. In just the same way, it is not the will of your heavenly Father that one of these little ones be lost." The Gospel of the Lord. When people become serious about their discipleship, when they finally take their discipleship in Christ seriously, without exception, the greatest difficulty they encounter are personal conflicts. It's true in seminaries, it's true in rectories, it's true in houses of religious formation and convents and monasteries, it's true among friends, it's certainly true in families. When people finally set aside their adolescent ideas of how this world is going to make all their dreams come true, and they finally decide to be serious about their Christian discipleship, without exception, the greatest difficulty they encounter are personal conflicts. Misunderstandings, rash judgments, antipathies, gossip, incompatible personalities. It's been this way for centuries. St. Bernard of Clairvaux, writing nearly 1,000 years ago, once put it this way. He said, "Vita communis maxima penitentia." The common life is the greatest penance. And it's very important that we remember this, because people waste a lot of their time and energy imagining that the obstacle to their holiness and their Christian discipleship is other people. They say to themselves, "If it just wasn't for these difficult people in my life that give me so many temptations and make me so angry and think such nasty thoughts, I'd be so holy, I'd be so close to God." And the fact of the matter is, God's plan is to make you holy because of those other people. In fact, without those other people, you're not going to heaven. And the more they're in your life, the more you see them on a daily basis, the more important they are. Nobody is in your life by accident. I like the way Jose Maria Escriva once put it. He said, "Don't ever think that person annoys me. Think rather, that person sanctifies me." It's been this way down through the ages. All the saints struggle with other people. You might have heard from the life of our very own Saint Teresa, if you know about her autobiography, that when she was in the convent, the greatest difficulty she had was another religious sister. I know it was true for me on many, many times, points in my life. I mentioned before that back when I was entering the seminary for the very first time, coming out of college, I told myself, you know, at last I'm going to be among people who are serious about following the Lord. At last I'm going to be among people who are trying to be holy. And that illusion was shattered within about 24 hours. And then I went to the monastery. And I said to myself, now here's people that are really trying to be holy. Finally, at last, it's going to be the way it was meant to be. And that illusion was shattered within about the span of a week. It was certainly true for the apostles, which describes the gospel that we just heard. This scene takes place right after the transfiguration. And you remember the transfiguration. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up onto a high mountain. And when they come back down, all the other apostles are jealous. And they say, "What's so special about Peter, James, and John? What's the matter with me?" And it led to this little argument where the gospel begins today. The argument about who among them is the greatest. And Jesus says the last thing they'd ever expect. He places a child in their midst and says, if you don't become humble like this little child, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Because the humble are the truly great ones in God's kingdom. It's certainly true for relationships. It's humility that makes relationships possible in the first place. People wrongly imagine that humility means thinking that you're the worst or thinking that you're awful, when the fact of the matter is humility means that you're really not thinking about yourself at all. You're so busy thinking about others. That's what makes relationships possible in the first place. It's why so many of those Hollywood marriages always fall apart. A couple of huge egos. No humility there at all. There's nothing to build a relationship on. I can't in my life think of one single person who got divorced and said of their former spouse, the trouble with him was that he was always thinking of other people, right? Never. And if you want to grow in humility, it's such an enormous subject, I could give you an entire day of recollection just on that point. But I'll share with you the most helpful thing that I've ever heard, the most helpful practical point I've ever heard, and it comes from St. Teresa of Avila. She once said, if you want to grow in humility, very simply, learn to let other people have their way. The way in which she put it was, don't be afraid to let God upset your plans. Now, of course, that's only true for things in which there's no principle involved, right? You don't want to do anything that's going to upend any principle or any truth. But as long as it's just your own preferences, learn to let other people upset your plans and take it in faith, and you grow in humility. The Latin word for earth is humus, and that's where we get our word humility from. And there's an image that's very, very helpful of a plant growing. It teaches us so much about how God grows his grace within us. Because before anything can grow in the earth first has to be plowed, and then seeded, and then fertilized. First, the hard earth has to be split open by a hard steel plow, and the ground has to be made soft. That's the only way that it can receive a seed. It's the only way that it can receive fertilizer. It's step one in growing something new. And similarly, when God wants to develop something virtuous in us, when he wants his grace to grow, the first thing he has to do is plow open the earth, so to speak. He has to upset our plans. He has to replace our plans with his own plan. And you know what's interesting about that? It allows the seed to be planted. You're much more receptive to receiving what God wants to give you when things are not going your way. If you ever stop to think about what your life might be like if things always went your way, you'd be very, very cold-hearted. And that, of course, allows the seed to be fertilized. Back when I was a kid, I used to marvel that people would pay for fertilizer, have it delivered to their garden, because essentially it's just a bag of manure. People would buy that. When you think about it, God, in his marvelous providence, has filled the earth with fertilizer. There's plenty to go around. All you have to do is accept it in faith. And what happens when you're plowed and seeded and fertilized? New life grows. But it all grows within humility. Having difficulty with other people, it's okay, you're not alone. But if you could remember to have the faith, to remember that that means that God is tilling the soil. And lastly, prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Clare, pray for us.